Welcome to the Fulamana Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:31 British Summer Time. Today is October 14th. Well, this has been another very interesting day. I guess you might say which of them isn't, but particularly from the perspective of the US dollar, it fell to $1.41 at its nadir in here today. And while it paired its loss in towards the close, it had encountered a little bit of support in the region of this $1.40 over the last week, but punched through it today. So that's a further reassertion of this rather impressive 4 month decline for the dollar. Against the Japanese yen, it hit a low today of 80.89. The Bank of Japan had said that they were going to support the 82 yen level, and well, they certainly haven't put their money where their mouth is, because it's trading well below that level in here right now. Nonetheless, I suspect that it would be rash to assume that the Bank of Japan isn't going to do something with the continued pressure that the weakness of the US dollar is putting on their manufacturers. The Australian dollar hit parity today. It hadn't quite made parity back in 2008, so this is significant new high ground for the Australian dollar, and the Canadian dollar also hit parity. The Singapore dollar is probably one of the only currencies in the world where the government and monetary officials have a relatively sanguine attitude to the strength of their currency. And in fact, because they tend to manage their monetary policy more with the value of their currency rather than interest rates, today's announcement that they are looking to widen the bands at which the Singapore dollar trades versus a basket of currencies is akin to an interest rate hike from their perspective. Elsewhere, with the US dollar really quite weak and becoming increasingly overextended relative to the 200-day moving average, that is leaving plenty of rope out for lots of risk assets to do rather well. Excuse me, silver today hit almost $25, and while it's at 24.50 as I speak, that's up 55 cents. Silver is quite clearly accelerating at this point, and the first clear downward dynamic, and it would have to be a large downward dynamic to really make the bulls sit up and pay attention, and also to hit some of the stops, is likely to really indicate that this remarkably impressive advance has hit a medium-term peak. There's no evidence of that in here today. Gold was also at another new high in here today. It peaked. It hit a high in here today of 1387 and closed around 1378. Platinum and palladium were both also firm. The industrial metal complex was a little bit softer, but not in any kind of dynamic way. And tin, which has been the leader all the way along, hit another new high in here today. In the stock market, the Nikkei was stronger by almost 2%. The Hang Seng was up over 1.75%, and the ASX in Australia countermanded yesterday's decline and is back up in the region of the 4,700 area. Elsewhere, in the Asian region, the better performing markets and leaders in that sector remain very close to their highs, some posting new highs, and the Asian region generally has been really quite firm. Into the European region, following a very impressive last couple of days for European indices, today was a little bit softer. Most indices closing down on the day. The German index was the exception, but down on the day, but not very much, with the vast majority of them less than half of 1%. And as we approach the close on Wall Street, it's a relatively similar story. The Dow Jones is down just over a quarter of 1%. The S&P is down about a half of a percent. Brazil, which has rallied up to test the high up in the region of 72,000, is a little bit softer in here today, but again, not by very much. In the commodity complex, the agriculturals were a little bit softer in here today. Soybeans is consolidating, I think, in the region of the $1,200 level, and wheat is back around the $7 level. So When we look across a range of markets, we're seeing that psychological levels are being tested in currencies, in commodities, in stock markets, and the best performing markets, and indeed the worst in terms of the currency markets, namely the US dollar, are becoming increasingly overextended. This has been a remarkable sweet spot for stock markets, and there's nothing just yet to indicate that it's over. But we do know that the more overextended relative to the 200-day moving average that the US dollar becomes, then the nearer we are to the next big rally for it, which is likely to close some of the shorts and put pressure on some of the carry trade that has taken place over the last few months. And we could see a sharp reversal and reversion towards the mean occurring in a very quick period of time. And of course, for some of the better performing markets and fuller money themes, that is going to provide us with the next good buying opportunity from an investment perspective. Today was also an interesting day for the US Treasury market. US Treasuries were down by a full point, and gilts were relatively unchanged, and Eurobonds were down by a half of a point. US Treasuries had pulled back violently from their high in the region of 137. It was a clearly bigger reaction. Then they rallied practically all the way back up and encountered resistance again in the region of 135, and they're currently in the region of 132 and a bit. It does increasingly look like they are encountering resistance below the previous high. So, provided the high now in the region of 135 isn't taken out, that can be considered a lower high, and the developing top formation for US Treasuries remains a really quite likely scenario. The rally that we had in US Treasuries back in August was being fueled primarily by momentum traders, and while there was incredible rationalization, it was primarily on the expectation that we were going to have continued intervention by the Fed to support the market. That might not be necessary. We're seeing that inflationary pressures are beginning to rise and that the global economy is doing very well indeed. Housing, of course, and unemployment remain primary concerns for the US economy, and we can anticipate that as we approach the midterm elections in the next few weeks, then that's going to put some pressure on these markets as the hyperbole gets ratcheted up a notch. But it looks increasingly like we are not going to have a double dip recession. It might be a close thing, and that global growth is likely to pull through and continue to support the emerging markets, primarily the commodity producing Latin America and the Asian population centers. And with the global middle class expanding at an impressive rate, that is creating demand for exporters, and particularly in the consumer goods sector. And the USA has plenty of those. So that will certainly help to support the economy. And it's had a big enough decline over the last few years that it's coming from a low base. And this weak dollar will certainly help the export market in the USA. So that is a positive in that regard. I don't think we can anticipate that the dollar is going to remain weak for a prolonged period of time, particularly given how quickly it has declined over the last few months in particular. If we take a step back and look at something like a 10-year or 20-year chart, well, then the dollar has a progression of higher reaction lows against the euro on that dollar index, and this has the characteristics of a base formation development, which is characteristically volatile. The increased volatility that we're seeing in these currency markets is going to lead to an occasional rocky ride in some of the better performing markets. And while the yen carry trade was the primary vehicle for leveraged traders prior to the crisis, it's looking increasingly likely that the US dollar will be the vehicle of choice for leveraged traders in the medium to longer term. And since the US dollar is so remarkably weak, this remains a very sweet spot for risk type assets. US dollar strength is likely to lead to a pullback in risk assets, particularly those that are most overextended. And perhaps most relevant for subscribers right now are the impressive advances that continue in silver and in gold, particularly. Silver is becoming increasingly overextended. It's taken up the running from gold, and that is a characteristic which we have seen in previous peaks for precious metals. So we are probably in a relatively mature stage for what has been a remarkable advance for these precious metals. There is no evidence that it has ended, but we'll know what it looks like when it does. And it's likely to coincide with strong or big downward dynamics across gold, silver, and the other precious metals in tandem with a major rally or short covering rally in the US dollar. And in the absence of that, we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. With that, I think I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.